Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find us. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. We're presented today by SeatGeek. Make sure you use the promo code LOBULLS in the free SeatGeek app to get $20 back when you make your first ticket purchase. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the Bulls are good again.
They're 4-3, 112-80 over the at times hapless Orlando Magic, who raced out with 20 points on the Bulls in the first 5 minutes and 20 seconds of this basketball game. Fred Hoiberg was not happy. Before we get to the happy times of the Bulls in this offense that was hitting on all cylinders for most of the night, Fred was upset with the defense, and he pulled Rajon Rondo about halfway through the first quarter. I think it was actually right under that 7-minute mark when the Bulls were playing very poorly defensively. And in a roundabout way, Fred, in the post-game press conference, while not directly saying Rondo's name, to a question about Rondo, why'd you pull him out, basically said because we needed to start playing defense.
Well, this is actually something that happened after the game against the Pacers on Saturday, which was a blowout loss. Jimmy Butler, without naming names, basically said that certain people are gambling too much on defense and switching when you don't need to switch. And everybody kind of read between the lines and assumed that he was talking about Rondo. And, you know, if you look on The Athletic, which you shouldn't be subscribed to, my colleague Stefan Noh had a interesting film breakdown of basically, yeah, Rondo is kind of why the Bulls' defense falls apart at times.
Yeah, in this one, it was Elfrid Payton getting out early in transition for the Magic, and Rondo wasn't putting up enough of a defensive force or any defense whatsoever at all, really, against him, and the Magic were getting some really easy buckets in transition, secondary transition, so I don't think it's a big deal in terms of there being a lot of drama. Rondo didn't talk after the game, but he also didn't put up huge numbers tonight. We were talking to Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Doug McDermott, some guys like that. So I don't read too much into it yet. If it happens again, if Rondo pouts, maybe you read into it a little more. He's a proud guy, but he hasn't exerted himself enough defensively there.
No, I don't think so. And actually, when we were in Boston, I was sitting next to a guy who's covered the Celtics there for a long time, and he basically would just point out to me, just like, hey, look at this little reach-around move that Rondo is doing, basically that fake defense. And that was something, like, ever since he pointed that out to me, it's something that I've been looking at and just noticing a little bit more.
Yeah, and Fred put in Isaiah Cannon earlier than he usually does, and everyone's speaking highly of Cannon so far, because I think we mentioned this on a previous podcast on Locked On Bulls, that Cannon isn't a great defender, but he does seem to try hard. And that's probably more than half the battle on some nights, especially for a team that's not going to be really good defensively. Trying hard is probably half the battle, because you don't have a super high ceiling defensively to make plays. And it should be noted that the Bulls are still among the worst teams in the NBA at forcing turnovers on a percentage rate early in the season's going. They've been really bad at forcing misses from the other team. They were tied for worst in the NBA in field goal percentage allowed going into this game. Now, the Magic didn't shoot well. The Bulls played better on defense as the game went along. They only allowed 11 points in the third quarter, 17 points in the fourth quarter, many of which came in the last 4 or 5 minutes when the game was long decided. So they responded, Sean, and they locked in, and I think we need to point that out after poor adversity early. And we know the offense has been good. The defense has been sketchy here at times. They did have a tournament.
this is a kind of game I don't think we can really say, oh, well, they beat the Orlando Magic, who are clearly not a good team at all. Well, they beat the Magic, they're good again. Like, this just proves all the problems that we've seen in the last couple of games are not real. But I will say that a team that really has a lot of problems, like, say, the Bulls last year, would not have been able to just put away a team like this.
Yeah, 32 points. That's good.
And in fact, I looked this up a little bit earlier that they've already had two wins this season. This one and then the one in Brooklyn that were higher margins than their highest win
all of
last season, which was...
did it also come against the Nets? I feel
27
like?
Against... They beat the Knicks by 27. Okay, beat the Nets by 30. They beat Orlando by 32 tonight. They led by as much as 38 at one point in the fourth quarter. Just, this is the kind of game... They have a big road trip coming up. They're playing against some... You know, I think... They play the Wizards after this Atlanta-Miami swing at home, but they have 8 of their next 9 games
on the road.
They play some good teams: Atlanta, Miami, the Clippers, Portland, Utah. This is going to be a tough stretch for them, and so just games like this that are at home against a team like the Magic, they should beat. You don't want to mess around and let it be a close game at the end where maybe you have to play Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler in the high 30s in minutes, and then you don't get to use them as much in some of these other road games. This is the kind of game you want to see them put away, and the fact that they were able to is really encouraging to me.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is the offense has been encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they're a top 3 NBA team in offensive efficiency in the early going, according to Basketball References, efficiency ratings, which those are all pretty much in the ballpark no matter what site you are. The point is they've been very good at that, and they've been really, really good at that when they've shared the ball. And that's what they've done in their 4 wins, obviously. But this Butler-Wade-Rondo thing seems to be working. The Bulls only shot, I think, 3 of 19 on 3-pointers in this game, which is bad, but it didn't matter. They put up a lot of points because they're doing a great job getting to the free throw line, 25 of 31. And this should be noted. Jimmy Butler has long been considered an elite defender. He has an elite offensive skill. That's getting fouled, getting to the hoop and getting fouled. And he's a good free throw shooter. He goes there a lot. I believe he was top 5 or 6 in free throws per game last year in the NBA. 10 in this game. He's been top 10 in the NBA so far. That's a skill. That's an elite skill that he can take into the game every single night, 82 times in this season. And if he does that, even if he doesn't have a high shooting percentage or as high of a shooting percentage as he'd hope, as the Bulls hope, even if they don't knock down 3-pointers at even a league average rate, which at this point over the long haul it looks like they probably won't, they can still be an efficient offense if he can do that, if Dwayne Wade can show shades of doing that as well. And that and rebounding in the early season, 2 points the Bulls have pretty much taken in all 7 games, win or lose.
Yeah, and I want to say that I think the ball movement in this game was just a lot better. I think in the first quarter they had 11 assists on 14 made field goals. By the end of the game, it was, 26 assists, 42 made field goals, but some of that was garbage time you can't really read too much into. But early on, I thought the ball movement was good, and only 8 turnovers. That's the other big thing.
Yeah, and I wanted to point out a Jimmy Butler decision in transition. I thought this was reflective of everything that Fred Hoiberg wanted. And I can't remember if it was first quarter or second quarter, but he hit Isaiah Cannon in the left corner for a 3-pointer right in front of the Bulls bench. So Jimmy got out in transition and ran with the ball, and Cannon sprinted to the opposite corner. Jimmy drew 2 defenders in transition / secondary transition, kind of, and then made the right call, the right pass to the corner. And it's worth noting that that's everything Fred wants. He went hard with pace in transition. He had a star drawing multiple defenders, a shooter, role player, filling his role and getting to an efficient spot on the court. A 3-pointer in the corner, one of the game's most efficient shots. And then Jimmy making what was an easy play, an unselfish play, but Fred just wants that easy play. And that's what that was. And I thought that was reflective. And again, the Magic aren't a good defensive team. I'm not reading into this, changing their season, but the decision-making has been pretty good for Jimmy so far in the early going.
Right, and we'll see how kind of this holds up once this road trip begins. Now, they don't have a lot of home games coming up, but if you have some money to burn and you want to make a trip down to Miami for what's going to be one of the most emotional games of the year, Dwayne Wade's first game against the Heat, you know where you should go to get the best deal on tickets, and that's SeatGeek.
You should definitely try SeatGeek because NBA season is back. SeatGeek's the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, courtside, club seats, upper deck. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. It can be anywhere, anytime, just a few taps. I can instantly find seats for this weekend's game or any games later in the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because the SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket is given a great value. You'll immediately see underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Additionally, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed 100% by their guarantee. So here's what you need to do. Our listeners to Locked On Bulls get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. So you need to download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code. Go with L-O Bulls, that's L-O-B-U-L-L-S, just how it sounds, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code L-O Bulls today for the easiest way to buy your tickets. What else stood out to you in this game, Sean? The Bulls mainly went with a nine-man rotation, I think, until it was late. Fred Hoiberg, before the game, had said he'd give Bobby Portis a strong look. Wasn't exactly really strong by way of minutes until later in the game, but he did beat Chris Felicio off the bench. That stood out to me. What did you think of that? What else stood out to you in this game?
Yeah, Portis has really come on in the last couple of games. He's been getting a lot of those fourth quarter minutes, both against the Knicks and against the Celtics. And, you know, there were times when that was questionable, I feel like, particularly in the Celtics game. But, you know, he's been playing well. He still has a ways to go on defense, but he's the kind of guy, you know, he's playing hard all the time. He had 6 rebounds tonight in 17 minutes. He's always going to give you effort on that end, and that's the kind of thing, you know, once he gets more, you know, hones his skills a little bit more, I think he's gonna be a good player.
Yeah, the offensive rebounding, I said the Bulls have been a good rebounding team. They led the NBA entering tonight in offensive rebounding percentage, and I found this interesting. I believe it was Zach Lowe on ESPN wrote that nobody has rebounded one-third of their misses, offensive rebounded one-third of their misses, since like 2003 or 4. Mm-hmm. And he was writing about actually in the context of the Thunder being really good at offensive rebounding with Steven Adams, a couple other big guys, Russ Westbrook, just going to the hole, kind of scrambling defenses. But the Bulls actually were just over the one-third mark for rebounding their own misses going into tonight, had 15 more offensive rebounds against 33 offensive or defensive rebounds for the Magic. So they're kind of around that mark again, not quite, but close to it tonight. Like, that's kind of a thing. Bobby Portis cleaned up a couple misses. Taj Gibson's getting it done.
Robin Lopez
is getting it done. Like, sometimes just get Jimmy and D-Wade breaking down that D and creating some havoc and chaos. Like, it's not a terrible strategy, you know?
It's really not. It's kind of an unlikely source of success for them, although I guess you can sort of say that, you know, for a team that can't shoot like this, you're going to have a lot of misses,
yeah,
so you want to have guys that
can
clean
season,
it up.
Yeah. Though, too.
That's the kind of thing I feel like is sustainable. There are certain early season trends, like
the three-point shooting.
Well, right, the three-point shooting, particularly Dwayne Wade three-point shooting, where you can look at it and say, yeah, I don't know if that's sustainable, but I feel like the offensive rebounding is something they are going to be able to keep up throughout the whole season.
Yeah, and they've been, I think, strong on defense, top 10 there, too, so, like, these things are kind of working for them. There are reasons for optimism early on that can be sustainable, as Sean mentioned. Taj Gibson's like just, he's Mr. Consistent now pretty much. I mean, 16 and 11 in this game, he always brings it. That idea of starting him over Nico Mirotic obviously earned it based on merit, but it's also working out, I think. So right now, I think for the Bulls, it's kind of about doing what they've been doing, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird formula, but so far it's been working more than it hasn't been working. Certainly things aren't perfect, and we've kind of seen the best and worst. We saw, you know, kind of the best case scenario of what this can be in the win against Brooklyn and then also the game tonight. But then You saw, you know, the game against the Knicks, the game against the Pacers, when the ball movement isn't there, when guys are just kind of standing around watching each other dribble. Like, you're going to have nights like that where they're just not clicking, and it's going to get ugly really quickly. But, you know, we've seen a lot of, you know, what can work with this team, and I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, Doug McDermott, he was kind of funny after the game, because the Bulls, their defense, this game was so backward. Their first string is better defensively than their second string.
Yes.
And their first string was awful tonight, defensively, to start the game. Then Cannon came in, Nico and Doug kind of came in, and, like, that's kind of when they started tightening the screws up, and maybe a lot of it had to do just with getting Rondo off the floor, too, in this night, because, again, his effort just defensively wasn't there enough. But Doug McDermott joke, yeah, then Fred had to bring in the bench to lock it down or whatever, which is funny to me because they've been...
They're very so, self-aware.
Yes. Like, they've been criticized roundly for their defensive effort at times, externally and, I think, internally. At times. Anything else in post-game comments stick out to you, Sean? Dwayne Wade's going back to Miami Thursday. We should note that Dwayne Wade was great Friday night in the first back-to-back, the front end of the first back-to-back this season, 35 points, I believe, 4 points on 1 of 9 shooting on Saturday night in a loss to the Pacers. Just didn't have it. And back-to-backs are a big deal when he's 34 years old and very mindful of minutes. Fred said the Bulls have some ideas in mind if Dwayne Wade's usage and maybe plans for the future on back-to-backs, but Fred confirmed he'll play Wednesday against the Hawks. We know he's playing Thursday at Miami, where he spent the first 13 years of his NBA career. After the game, Dwayne said, "I feel fine." And, you know, it's all about constant communication with the coaching staff and that stuff. Thinks he can play 30, 32 minutes still when the game's close on most nights. Didn't have to play quite that many tonight, obviously. But I think that's just something to be aware of, back-to-backs. And he is going to Miami on Thursday, which he admitted will be emotional.
Right, and I mean, I think it helps that he only had to play 25 minutes tonight because it was a blowout, so they didn't really have to overuse him ahead of his back-to-back that they have coming up in Atlanta and Miami. But he, you know, he did say that if he can't get up for this game, even if it was on the second night of back-to-back, if he can't get up for his return to Miami for the first time as a visiting player in 13 seasons, then, you know, I don't know what he can get up for. But he was also just very thoughtful afterwards and reflective and just about, you know, what his time in Miami meant to him and his relationships with some of those guys. So it's going to be a really cool
scene
game to watch and just kind of see. I am actually making the trip to Atlanta and Miami for this little road swing they have, so I will be in the building for that.
You know, the other thing about Dwayne Wade that I like a lot is just being the voice of reason.
Uh-huh.
And I point this out because I heard him say this and immediately caught my attention. And he said, we need to battle and try to be 500 on the road. You know what I mean? And then take care of business at home, which in a way is kind of a cliche. I think in any sports, you're always like, you know, just dominate at home and stay 500, keep your head above water on the road, which I get. But at the same time, he's saying, like, we got to be 500 in this aspect of the game. And, like, just kind of the eloquence and the depth with which he spoke, like, he really believes that. And he mentioned, here we go, expectations. He mentioned if they can be 500 on the road, take care of business, play consistent at home. That's how you get to 48 or 50 wins in the NBA, which no one on the Bulls, I don't think, had yet put a number this
season. I think this is the first time we've seen anybody put a total on it. The other thing he said this morning at shoot-around was, you know, we're 6 games into the season. The Warriors aren't even in first place in the West yet. So, like, he's just given this kind of perspective and just, like, this taking the long view of everything and just not really stressing about early season struggles. Like, just this level-headed presence that's just been so huge for them. You know, I could easily have seen this going off the rails without him here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have taken more time in any regard, I think, to go off the rails. 7 games is so early.
Well, I don't know. If they had lost, I mean, the fact that they started off, we talked about this in this show, podcast with Nick the other day, but, like, the fact that they started the season off 3-0, now, you know, they drop a couple here, and it's like, okay, they still started off 3-0, so they're still sort of fine. If they had started off the season, like, 1-2 and then had that really horrible stretch with the games against the Knicks and the Pacers, yeah, it might be a little bit of a different conversation.
Yeah, you mentioned after that loss at Indiana when they fell to 3-3 the other night, like, he's not into overreacting to every two or three game losing streak. Like, he doesn't consider that like a season adversity, you know. So, like,
right.
He's not going to freak out about that three game losing streak and let it snowball because he has so much perspective. I thought another instance where he was kind of showing good perspective was he was asked by Sam Smith, you know, do you think people in Miami understand why you're not there? And Dwayne Wade just flatly said, no. Like, unless you're kind of a basketball geek and know the economics of the game and really understand the business, like, there's a lot of people that are still like, how can you leave Miami? And he understands that they don't completely get it and that they're going to have different emotions with him leaving and reasons why when what he was doing was right for him in his mind. He has to take care of himself, his career, his family, and do what he wants to at this point in his career. But he totally understands, like, just that attachment.
I would say I think there's going to be not nearly as many boos for him as there were for Derek the other night.
I wouldn't be shocked if there was any boos.
No, I agree. I think because the vast majority, like, for just based on what I've seen on Twitter and just, you know, Heat fans that I've talked to, none of them are really mad at him for leaving as much as they're mad at Pat Riley for letting him leave. And I think there's a sense that if the Heat still wanted him, if Pat Riley still wanted him in Miami, he would still be in Miami. They didn't necessarily let him walk as much as they just made him an offer that they knew he would turn down and said take it or leave it, so they could at least save face and be like, hey, well, we made an offer. And then it was obviously an offer he wasn't going to take, and then he had this opportunity to come to Chicago, which is where he's from, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and when you're in Atlanta for Shoot Around Wednesday, the game that night, and then again, whatever, you run back in pregame interviews on Thursday, like, that's a question worth leading up to it, and afterward is, what kind of just conversation does Dwayne Wade expect to have with Pat Riley going down there? Is he going to have a quick meeting, something cordial? Will they get together and have dinner and just rehash everything out? Like, to me, like, he greatly respects Riley, but there was a little cold blood there at the end, how it all went down. I believe as of, he was asked a couple times in the summer, like, have you corresponded with him or whatnot, talked to him on the phone, and there was no phone conversation.
No email.
Riley was supposedly going to send a long email to explain something at some time, but
and he just didn't click send. That was what he said.
Saved in the drafts, and there just wasn't, like, I don't even know if there was a text message or anything, but Wade was open in explaining this stuff, so it'll be interesting, that element of it. Like, you should definitely follow up on that.
Oh, I think we're going to. But, you know, there will be podcasts of some sort this week. I don't know how many will be both of us because I'm going to be on the road. I might do some with people that I run into there, other reporters. We will do at least one more this week, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And you can always follow us on Facebook, Locked On Bulls Facebook page, on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls. Check Sean out on Twitter, at Hyken, myself, at Cody Westerlin. Most of all, subscribe, right, Sean?
Absolutely. You can go on iTunes, subscribe to us. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring us today. Remember, go on the free SeatGeek app on your phone. Under settings, add a promo code. Use the promo code LOBULLS and you'll get $20 back when you make your first ticket purchase. Subscribe to The Athletic to read my work. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work covering the Bulls. And we will be back with you guys soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.